欢迎来到北纬55度。2023年已经过去3个月，生活忙忙碌碌，一直没来得及录新的播客。不知道你有没有期待了很久呢？这一期的采访对象是我生活中又一位意外交到的新朋友，他叫亚丹，今年70岁左右，是我前同事的母亲。我们在我前同事的生日聚会上认识，一起坐在客厅的角落聊了很久。在退休以前，亚丹在公共心理领域服务了40年，他帮过很多家庭处理亲子关系的问题。他说很多时候可以从一个脆弱敏感的孩子放大到整个社会上普遍存在的问题。我个人很享受和这样一位有丰富社会阅历还有深度思考能力的长者聊天，也认为这是一种很好的呈现丹麦社会现状的方式。因此呢，我们又单约了在他的客厅重新进行了一次深度的谈话，录下来了这次聊天的内容。希望你就如同和我们坐在一起一样，拿起一杯咖啡听我们慢慢细聊。Hi everyone, welcome to the podcast. Today we have this lovely lady, Yada, sitting next to me. We recently get to know each other from a birthday party where my ex-colleague was hosting it, and Yada is his mother. We were both sitting in the corner of the living room, and we managed to have a very interesting conversation. Not only because Yada had more than 40 years of experience working as a social worker to help outproblematic children and their family, but also I think she is very good at reflecting, really good at critical thinking to look at things in a holistic view in society, which there's a lot that we can learn from when she shares her experience. So Yada, do you want to say hi to my audience?
Yes, I want. Hey everyone, I have just met Huai Yu.
Yes.
And we talk a lot of how the difference is between China and Denmark, and I'm so curious to hear about your country, and I hope you will be curious to hear about mine.
Yeah, for sure. To that topic, in terms of like the difference, I think there's like a whole like boil of ocean that we could explore.
Mm-hmm.
And most relevant, I think what you mentioned, that you actually had this experience helping outpeople in different class or different status in the society, so you must have seen a lot of different people. So I think from this we can use that as an angle to start with, and mm-hmm. then during the time we can, you know, pick up some topic that, you know, the common challenge, the common struggle throughout generations, and then I can also share some experience from my childhood or my background.
But should I tell a little about what I have been doing?
Yes.
Now I'm not working anymore because I'm too old. But when I was working, I have in 40 years worked with families and children who has problems.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a very different kind of problems, but most of them are related to the relations in the families.
Mm-hmm.
So my work was to help the families to kind of get their relation in a way that everybody could be have it feel good. So how do they make the balance in the family, so the father could be there, the mother and your children could be there? How do they help each other to go to school and to work in a way that nobody feel all the time?
Mm-hmm.
How could the siblings not call every time, how could they be good friends?
Okay.
And things like that.
Is there a like specific title for this? Like, are you working for an organization or for the government?
I'm working for the government.
Okay.
And often the people, they could ring themselves and say, we have a problem, want to talk.
Okay.
Do you have a time? And I could do that. Or their school teacher or their kindergarten teacher could call and say, this family had struggled really with something. Could you help them?
That's really cool. So is it some type of social worker?
It's a type of social worker, yes.
Yeah. Really cool.
So they could have say to us, we want help, or somebody could tell us that they need help. So it, both ways.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you said you have been working in this field for 30 years. So it's been a long time.
A long time. I have... I started my working with, in the kindergarten and in a, then in the school.
Mm-hmm.
I work in the school, taking care of the children. But then I get really interested because I think that some children behave differently and didn't have, they were not satisfied. So I start to think, why?
Mm.
And then I kind of think, how could I help these children?
Yeah.
And I found out that I couldn't help them if I don't help their families.
Oh, wow.
Because
yeah. That's a really,
they were,
really good
their
thing.
Behaviors were because they were not satisfied in the school or in the family or both.
Yes.
Because it kind of get into the children.
And in China, we have a saying that children are like the mirror to their parents. So
mm-hmm.
you can see a lot of patterns in mm-hmm. their behavior from their family.
Yeah.
I guess you've seen that as well.
Yeah, so that's why I start to educate in this way, start to read a lot of psychology and take a lot of education to how to help people getting another relation, because that's not very easy to kind of change
no.
your way of behavior.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
so.
But this is really like, I'd say, inspiring to hear mm-hmm. that Denmark has been doing this like way back from
mm-hmm.
many, many years ago. I think it has been a bigger problem now in China because I think, first of all, we are only child, so
mm-hmm.
at least in my generation,
mm-hmm.
people who are in their 20s and 30s,
mm-hmm.
Then we were a bit spoiled, so we don't have this relationship, like we don't deep dive into this topic, like how do you be with your family,
mm-hmm.
how you hang out with your siblings, because
mm-hmm.
this concept didn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the whole family is going around this only child. Like, is everything about this single, yeah, all the wish will be satisfied, everything will be financially, everything.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But there will be a lot of pressure on you then.
Yes.
Well.
That's the other side of the coin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you can see if there's 3 or 4 children in the family, and then one can play the piano, the other can be good at math. So they are not going to do
yes.
it all. So
yeah.
they could kind of share the pressure. Hmm?
Yes, and now we have to do it all ourselves.
So you yeah. have to both piano and math.
Yes.
So, yeah,
mm-hmm.
but okay. But that's the thing, but in the last 15 years, I think it's been more and more common in Denmark that the children are more anxious.
Mm.
And that's a thing we are struggling with now, because there are a lot of children get anxious and not feel they are filling out the form.
Okay. Where do you think it comes from?
We are trying to find out.
Yeah.
But my opinion, and it's only me
mm-hmm.
my opinion, I think that we have been a little distance between parents and children.
Mm.
And there's a lot of, the phone has filled in a lot.
Yes.
The computers have filled in a lot.
A screen between
yeah,
people,
yeah,
right?
A screen
yeah.
between people. And when you are a little child, you have to look at your parents and your teacher and people around you and find out who you are and how your behavior works.
Yeah.
Okay, if I do like that, they smile. Okay, that's a good thing. Okay,
mm.
if I do like that, they ask me to stop. Okay, that's a bad thing. But this, when there's a screen between you, they never see other things than...
That is
what's on YouTube.
Yeah. Oh, that's a really good reflection. I didn't think about it. Yeah, it's like a one-way communication.
Yes.
It's a screen.
Yeah.
They don't give you respond or feedback.
No.
Wow. Also, I guess...
No, you can get a response. Let's say you have done something right in the play or something. Okay, you have...
Yeah, you click something.
You have managed.
Yeah.
Okay, fine, you come to the next level.
Mm.
But it won't say if you were nice or you were sweet or...
Yeah. It doesn't have the context.
No,
it's
no
two dimension.
No,
very
no.
yes or wrong. It's programmed
yeah, yeah.
in the end,
it's,
right?
It's only are you? Do you manage or didn't you?
Yeah.
That's what the screen says. But in the real life, there's a lot of nuances
yeah.
That you have to learn.
Like Can you describe what are the behavior when children are anxious, for
example? But they can be very sad, and they can be... some are very sad, some are kind of very aggressive.
Okay. To get some, attention, I guess.
Yeah, something, or they don't want... They don't know what to do with their old feelings, so it just come out, out their mouth or out their fingers or out everything. But and some there's a lot of children who are anxious in the way that they are quiet.
Okay.
They are kind of inside themselves. They're scared of everything.
Yeah, a bit insecure.
That's
a bit hard to...
It's very hard to do.
Yeah.
The other one who's aggressive is scared too, but they have another showing it.
Yeah, it's more obvious. Yeah. It's more seeking for help.
Yeah. But then there's a, and when I say that a lot, I mean it's not like every other child, but I think it's around 8% or something, but that's a lot.
Yeah.
That's too much. That means there's one or two in every class.
Yes.
And that's too much.
Okay. What would the number be back, let's say, 20 years before we have smartphones?
Then they have other problems.
Yes.
But you see, when all this technology comes in, that's a good thing, I think. It's not because I think it's a bad thing, but we haven't learned to use it well.
Mm.
So it has filled too much. Before, when I started to take care of children, they played. They actually played.
In the field, in the forest.
They have toys, they build houses.
They use your fingers.
They use your fingers, they play ball, they interact with each other, they play hide or something.
Yeah, yes.
Many hours a day.
Yeah.
Now they play when the grown-ups say, now you have to play. And then they play and said, can I use your phone? No, you have to find out something. So you see, that's a different.
Yeah.
Because they were together all the time. When they came home from school, they say, okay, I've made my things. I went out to the other children play.
Mm.
Now they come home from school.
They want to have the screen. Yeah.
I said, with the screen. They interact on the screen.
Do you think... Is human nature to be out in the wild, to jump around, to play around, or it's just how they see the parents are doing? Like, if parents are so excited on their phone, so they think, okay, I would also get...
I think it's not black or white. It's
something
in between. But but I think human beings is... they need relations.
Yeah,
they need relations, and it can be in many ways, but they need to make relation. And when they're small, they need to have a mirror to look and see, am I on the right? Help me! I can't find out how to get friends, or I can't help me. How do I do?
Mm.
They have to learn, and if there's nobody who are there to learn them.
Yes.
Then they will be anxious.
Exactly this COVID thing, right?
Yeah.
It really, really hurt a lot of kids in their generation that they couldn't interact as human.
Most children can. It's really important, I think, to think when we talk about anxious children, it's not everyone.
No, yeah, okay,
Yes. Most of the young ones and most of the adults manage. Okay, but then there's a growing part who we don't really know how to help them because their parents are anxious as well. And before we think that it was something in the child that was difficult.
Yeah.
But now we know it's not definitely not always something in the child. It can always be in the relation or the missing relation.
Mm. Can you give an example, like a case that you worked with when children have this anxiety and then you figure out it's something with the family?
A lot of children I have spoken with Normally, I will talk to the children first to hear how they manage in school, how they want, what they are thinking about, what do they like. I like to know the child.
Yes.
So often the parents ring in and I ask them, is it okay? Do you think it's okay I speak to your child?
Mm-hmm.
And often they say, of course. Yes, because I want to hear what your child means.
Yeah.
I know what you mean. You have told me that you are anxious for your child is not feeling well. So I sit and spoke with them and normally conversation about everything as you talk to every child, and I ask them how they are with friends and what they like in school or everything around that. What do you like to do with your mother? What do you like to do with your siblings, your father, your grandparents, and so on? So I try to hear about their relations in the family. And a part of the children, they often say, but I don't see enough of my father and mother.
The call is the time.
Yeah, they are looking in there. When they are home, they are going to the fitness, they are looking into the screen, they are doing things like that. And I'm doing it as well, they say. So they are not kind of taking it out of their parents. They say, I'm doing it too. But we as a family, we are together, but we are not together.
How old are the children? It
could be for 8 years.
Okay. Because that sounds very adult way of behavior, but that you give sort of, there's a lot of understanding, like the child is trying to understand what is happening and try to make sense of it and adapt to it. It's a very mature way of handling things, actually.
But I think over the last 10, 5, 15 years, in the school and in the kindergarten, they are talking a lot about feelings.
Yeah.
In Denmark, it's a topic to really a team to talk about.
Do you think it's a good thing or a bad thing?
Both.
Yeah. Both. I like how complex.
It is both, because I think it's good that you can explain how you feel.
Yes.
I think it's good you can explain and say, no, I don't like that. Please stop. I don't want that. You can do it with play that with somebody else or do that with somebody else. That I think is very good. But the other side of the coin is that we have a lot of focus, nearly too much focus, on how you are feeling. How am I feeling today?
I kind of agree to this.
I don't really know. I have to find out. Am I sad? I don't know. Am I sad? They are kind of doing But if they don't have the attention on it, how do they know when somebody are doing something with them they don't like? Or they feel a lot of pressure? So it's not good or bad.
Yes.
You have
both sides. Balance, right?
Yeah. I think all things in life is about
are
balance.
Like that.
It's about balance.
Yes.
Too much, too little. Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, I really respect and agree on what you just said, because I think particularly from my own experience, like when I come aboard, I guess it's with the age, when I started to work and have more freedom for myself, I started to look more searching inside, what do I want, how do I feel, all this stuff. But I think a few years ago when I was, still studying, still trying to find a job, all of this, you don't have enough attention to put it on yourself. But then that's also one of the most development phase that you had back in time, when you're not only looking at yourself, because everyone is not an island, you are in a context. So if you focus too much on yourself, you will feel like, oh, what is this person doing? Like, you create a lot of fuss around you. You are sort of not focused on what being productive should be as well. So I really, really agree with what you just said. And I think it's always a good conversation when children are very young, and then you talk about feelings, but you also help them to navigate, okay, this is your feeling, and we acknowledge it and what we're gonna do next, right? There's always action point after talking about
it. But if I can give you a little example, my little grandchild, she's only five.
Okay.
She's going swimming and I'm going with her.
Yeah.
Every Wednesday, going swimming. And she, after Christmas, she has a kind of, I don't want to go to swim anymore. And she really loves swimming. She's really good at swimming. So I ask why. I don't know, she said. Don't know, she said. It's something in my heart.
Oh my God, 5 years old?
Okay, something in your heart. Yeah, my heart says I don't want, but my brain says I will really good. So we were talking about how she could use her brain to tell her heart to stop that behavior so she could get swimming.
Wow.
So.
That sounds like a psychology session.
That's a way to kind of work with it, right?
Yeah.
Because say, okay, you have to kind of get out of something, do something, because everything is not joy.
Yeah.
You have to do something which is not joy.
Yes.
But sometimes when you started doing it, it becomes joy.
Yes.
So you have to do this little thing. You have to work with that.
Yeah.
And that's how children work with it. Okay. Then last we were swimming in Wednesday and she come up and said, it was a good time. I was only nearly crying once. Said, what did you do then? I said to him, stop. It's my body I want to swim.
Oh my God. Wow. That's really, really powerful.
Yeah.
Like,
and then she swim.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I'm just so happy that she could go through this process in that young age.
Yeah. Like, but that's what we're working with those children with.
Yes.
Every children, we're working with them to kind of overcome things. Because we will all people stand in situations where we have to overcome something.
Yeah.
We don't want.
Yes. And I think one of the reasons that there is a freedom for them to do it is because there's a lot of choices. Like they could choose to swim or not to swim.
Yeah.
And I just, when I reflect, when I was young, I don't feel like I have a lot of this like decision-making part in my life. Like you sort of being pushed by a mainstream, like your parents or whatever everyone is doing. So you don't reflect too much, like, do I really want to do it? Why do I want to do it? Yeah, you sort of miss this process. And then that's when you have a small little crisis, when you finally go through all the steps that everyone planned for you, and then you're 25 and boom, what are you going to do now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you have to kind of learn it during your childhood.
Yeah.
But you have another thing here that I think was very common out in Denmark too, because all those choices and all that you is very, very good, but very, very difficult.
Yes.
It's difficult to have choice about everything. Children have choice about everything, from what shoe do you want, what do you want to play, do you want to go swimming, do you want to play the piano, what do you want to eat, oh, you don't like
it's
that.
It's overwhelming, right? If you have
everything,
so
it could be. And when you're a little one, you can't choose between 10 things. You can choose between 3, maybe.
Yes.
So you have to learn it.
And probably, I guess, parents wouldn't give the most important decision to the kids. If they want to stop going to school, would you just say, okay, you decide not to, then...
No, they in Denmark, you have to go to school.
Yeah, okay. There are something that is
you have to
them.
Do it.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of other choices you have to make all the time. And do you want to play with this guy or do you want to play with that? Do you want to swim or play football because it's on the same day? All that choices that you have to have.
Yeah.
But they take time to make choices.
Mm.
And they take time to kind of talk about it.
Yeah.
And sometimes the parent has to say, okay, it's very difficult, so I will choose for you this time.
But it's really like respecting, right?
Yeah,
like sort of like adult conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's very good, but it's very difficult too. And for children who are vulnerable from their start in life, they are vulnerable, people are. It can be overwhelming for them because they are so... kind of focusing on then if I take this choice, I will say no to this choice, and I want both.
Okay.
So what should I take?
So they are more focusing on what they will lose.
Yeah. They are kind of, they know that they have two choices, but they can't be on the same times. So if they choose the one thing, they will be sad about they couldn't the other, and vice versa. So, and for vulnerable people, this is very, can be very, they can be very anxious about, have I made a really bad mistake here?
Do you understand? It's more like, how do you view a thing, right? Whether you have this growth mindset, people say, or you think about what you lose. But that's like comes to personality, I guess. It's not, is it related to the family, how the parents?
No, but it's related to the family, how they kind of help them to make the choice.
Yeah.
How do they get into the discussion with them? Oh, okay, you can't do it, you had to try.
Yeah.
Some grown-ups, they are frustrated themselves, so sometimes they just say, hey, okay, you can do nothing, or blah, 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 blah. And then they get any more anxious too.
I think all the stuff that we just talk about are not only like on children. I think they could be much more bigger skill in adulthood as well. So it's really a good like snapshot that we just talk about. It's reflecting the whole society, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it is. But you see it in the children as much, and you can start there because they will show it in the, and often they show children I talk to, they say, but I don't like mine when my parents crawl. I don't like it. I'd be anxious, I would cry.
But my parents call me.
No, they have an agreement, they are discussing and very loudly.
Ah, so the parents are fighting.
Yeah.
Okay. No, not fighting.
With words.
Yeah.
And they don't like it, they get
anxious. Nobody likes it.
No,
right?
But sometimes we as adults are not kind of, we're not thinking about it because we think in our world, then we stop and okay, then it's over for some people. But it's not over for the child necessarily. No. So it stands there and say, are they going to be divorced? In Denmark, lots of people are divorced.
Yeah.
Half the marriage or divorce. So it's something who stands for the children. They know what divorce are.
From what age they would understand what divorce means?
In you go in kindergarten. They know that penniless parents are living apart. And they know that...
And what does it mean to them, you think?
They just live with it. But when their own parents are getting there, then they say, Shall you live another place? Then they will be anxious. So you can work with the parents in and say, okay, your behavior does, your child are anxious here. So you have to find out another way to have your discussions.
Yeah, or maybe explain to your child that this is common, that we have this argument.
Maybe.
Yeah, and nothing bad would come out of it. We would just...
Yeah.
Become more healthy when we talk a bit about things. But actually we touch a very interesting point about divorce because it's still very, I think we all know that Denmark has a very high divorce rate and it's like one of the biggest difference, I would say, between a lot of Asian country and Europe, that people are really not ashamed of divorce and it's openly talked about. And I think people even joke about it, like sarcastically.
You joke about everything.
Yeah, that's true. Yes. But what do you think, like, do you really think it has almost no impact on children? Because the government, of course, we heard that they take care of the kids and, you know, they have enough cares from both parents and it's cool, the system allowed this happen. But if you really think about or look at all the experience,
it depends on how the parent manage. If they talk nicely to each other, if they can have the children without kind of being unagreed of everything, it is all right. They can find out.
The word all right.
Yeah, but they can find out. I mean, they can't, it's always also not good for children if the parents are living together and don't like each other.
Yeah.
That's not good anyway.
No, no.
Okay. So if the parents don't want to be together and go apart.
Yeah.
But they talk to each other in a civil manner.
Yes, decent, right?
Yeah. Then the children can find out how to do it. But if they are kind of arguing all the time, and often when people are divorced and they are arguing,
yes,
it's all most about the child.
Yeah.
You are not doing with the child what I want you to do. You are not doing what you are. I'm the right one.
After they divorce?
After they blame. Divorce.
Okay.
And it's often the same discussion they have had when they were together. So they divorced, but then they...
That's a common thing. Yeah. Still keep them together, right?
Yeah.
I see.
So, but I think we have a lot of divorces in Denmark because we don't have... everybody in Denmark can live on their own.
Yes, independent.
Yeah, independent. We have no... I'm not going to live with someone because he earns the money or...
Yes.
My family will get very angry at me if I don't marry somebody. So it's all right.
Social acceptance.
It's social acceptance.
Yeah. I think there's also like a balance, right? Mm. Because in China, I would think a lot of people, when they divorce, the first things come to their mind is, what about the children? Like, it's not good for the children.
Mm.
I would try to stay with this person or try to... hang in there for a little bit longer just to see if we can fix this. So there's like a fixing mindset there because of the situation. I think maybe in Denmark people have a bit like lower threshold, like if things doesn't work, or you know, if someone cheated on the other in Christmas party, that could also cause a divorce. It's so easy, you just need to register CPR online. Yeah.
But parents in Denmark are very aware of that. Every child want their parents to be together.
Okay.
I think worldwide.
Yeah.
Every child want their parents to be together.
Makes
Denmark
sense.
Too. But not of every price.
Mm.
But a lot of people in Denmark are doing a hard work before they get divorced because they know, so they go to psychology or things like that to see if they could.
So they do work on it.
Yeah. The most of them.
That's good.
They do. When I was a child, I'm 71 years old, so I was a child in the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
50s, the 60s. And that there were divorce not coming.
No.
It comes in the 70s, 80s, when we have a lot more money, and the women's day, we have fought a lot to get... education, to get education, to get a salary, and to things that we can live for. And after that we were more independent, we wouldn't be in a marriage where there were no place for us.
Yes.
So we say, hello, goodbye.
Yeah.
Because we want to be equal.
Yeah, it's very... like strongly correlated, right? Like how female became independent and how they could have choices in their life, and then they could choose divorce. That something sounds really, really bad in a lot of culture, but because of this freedom of choice, you start to see it in a different lens. So it's very good revolution, I would say.
So now people are together mostly not because it's necessary, but because they want to choice again.
But how long would this choice last? Like maybe I'm a bit at this point in my life, I just a bit doubtful how much you can be attracted to a person throughout your whole life. Like of course there's love coming into place, but also responsibility, a lot of other things, right? Like this person can, you can grow together, you can support each other. If it's only about love, it's only because you want to spend time with this person, can it actually last for a whole life?
If you work on it, it can, because it's a work. You have to kind of nurse it all the time. But a lot of people divorced in Denmark, but half of them are together for life.
Yes. Okay. It's always, you're really data driven. Like, you always go back to statistics, so keep reminding us.
Yeah. So she's not, as a modern sister, she has been married for 25 years.
Okay. Yeah.
So, and his brother for.
Yeah.
15 years, and the other sister for 14 years. So they are, it's not everybody who gets divorced.
And I would say, for example, in Denmark, if people get into marriage for many many years, it actually means they are really happy, right? Because they have choice. They could, like, the acceptance of divorce is much easier than other countries. So if they stay in marriage, it means that they actually, be good to each other.
And I think sometimes in every marriage, you are going to say, but I will be here, so I have to work on making it good. It will not be good just because we're here. We have to do something to make it interesting, to do something, to be aware of the relations and make the context good and do whatever to make it good. And sometimes you will think it's a little boring now, but then you have to do something.
Yes.
To make something happen.
Own it.
Yeah. Take responsibility for it.
Yes.
Yes.
Nice. It's about marriage. I don't know how we get there.
But also the difference between things here is that when I was a child and just before that generation before, then it was the option. It was to get married. Women has to go home in their home and making dinner, washing the clothes, doing things like that. So it was first in the 70s that we work on. We want to get out working. We want to do things like that.
Yeah. I think in China now, we female are working. Like, it's no different between men and maybe in payrolls or still, I think it's common problem. Now it's International Women's Day and all the companies are talking about equalities because it's still a problem, even in Western world. Like, if you look at the top leadership. But in general, I think the employment rate is the same between genders. Yeah. It's just how far you can go in your career. It's a bit different. Mm. In China, it's the same. And now the common problem is young people just simply don't have enough time to take care of their family or their children. They just have to deliver and work and, produce, being productive to the society. So not the responsibility, not landing on women, but landing on their parents sometimes.
Like, but you have long work hours in China, don't you?
Yeah. If you have a good job, you probably work much longer than here in Denmark.
But mostly in Denmark, I'm working 37 hours a week.
Yes, per day, right? 7 hours per day.
Per week? In, 37 hours.
37, yes. It's definitely not the case in China. Like, even if it's a... So there's two type of choices young people normally make. Either you go to this work for the government, then you can have very good hours, but the pay is not very high. But it's being seen as one of the good options because it's very stable. You normally don't get fired throughout your life. So it's a very secure job. The other is that you go to a certain industry that is booming. You have a lot of responsibility, opportunities. You actually learn so much. Like, there was a time I really considered going back because I feel like if I spend 6 months there, I would learn much more than I spent 2 or 3 years in Denmark because things just move so fast and there's a lot of things going on. In those type of options, you would stay until 9 or 10 every day in the work days. So you don't have a life.
But that's the thing that we're also discussing a lot in Denmark.
Yeah.
Are we working because we want to live? Or are we living because we want to work? I know what I want.
Yeah, but it's not your choice sometimes. Sometimes you're pushed
But then you have to find out what kind of society do you want to make.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, then you can move around and that's why I'm here.
Yeah.
Trying to escape from the pressure.
Then you have to find out and I think that the choices are in a special class of people who have the choices. There's a lot of people in Denmark who haven't got a choice. They're poor, just like in China. There are poor people everywhere in Denmark too. And they don't have the same choices as when you are in the middle class or the upper class. They have other choices.
Can you maybe, you know, draw a profile of a family that is really poor and then also really rich, so we can put it into perspective?
But the rich people in Denmark are the same as in China.
Yeah.
They have good educations. They often come from families who have good educations. They maybe have a firm where the family business, so they have earned a lot of money during generations. That's the kind of people who have a lot of money. People who have good jobs, work a lot, some of them.
Yeah.
Some of them earn money because they are in, it's only paperwork.
Only paperwork.
Then, they go, it's in the financial world.
In that way, yeah.
Poor people in Denmark can be people without job.
Yeah.
They will get money to live for, but they're poor.
How much would that be?
I don't know really what in the finance how it is, but it's just that you can kind of
bare minimum.
You can have a thing. It's people who are sick, mentally sick, for instance. They would get a pension, but it's not a very high pension. People who have problems in some way. People who haven't got an education because they have a bad childhood, maybe, or their parents were poor when they were young, so they were out working early, or they've kind of things like that.
So is possible that they fall out of the system, so
yes,
to say,
they don't. Yes.
I thought it's mandatory to go to school until a certain age, or?
Yeah, it's a complicated question, huh? It's a complicated solution, but yes, there are people, youngsters, that where the parents don't manage to get them to go to school enough.
But they don't need to pay for school.
No.
How difficult could it be to?
Because when some parents are not as strong as others. So when they are not going on work and the son don't want to get up, go to school, or the daughter don't want to get up, go to school, the parent who are not going working out of the house, it's difficult for them to say, no, I'm not going to work, but you're going to school. So get out with
behavior
you.
Behavior.
So it could be very difficult to when you are sick or feel bad, or they don't like themselves. People who are not in work, they are not satisfied with themselves often because they do know that the society and all the relations around them want them to go to work. So they kind of look down.
Okay.
So they're not feeling good in that position.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of psychology.
Going in circles.
Yeah, going
in
circles. So I think it's 8% of the Danish youth who don't get an education.
Okay.
It's not much, but it is much. It's too much for the 8% it is. Because they want to be educated, to earn money, to buy their trousers, to have a bike, to go on holiday, to go out in the restaurant eating like everybody else.
Yeah. Have you helped out any family like this?
Yeah.
What do you do then?
Trying to find out how to manage with the life you have instead of trying to do something else.
Okay.
So try to find out how you could do here. Try to get an education. How could we help you to get an education?
For the parents or for the children?
For both.
Okay.
Because you have to go to school in Denmark. It's a law. You have to get educated, but you can't beat people. Don't beat people. So when they don't...
Cannot force them. Yeah.
No, we can't force them. So when we try to make it in a position that it will be good for them and they can see the thing is good for them to do.
Interesting.
So we kind of work with the parents to get them into a work. But if they're too mentally sick, it's very difficult to get a work because they're sick.
But maybe the children will be taken away from them, or
sometimes. But I'll say after so many years in this work, you should be very, very
careful
to take children away from their parents, because even if their parents are very, very poor.
Mm.
Poor in the person.
Yeah.
They're still their parents.
Yeah.
They're still their parents, and they will, yeah, they are very important for them. But sometimes you have to say, but that is too poor. This is too poor for them. In the mental way, I mean, not.
Yeah, yeah, not the financial. Yeah, I think in Denmark you have a basic support that they can, the children still receive a bit of money, right?
I think it's 12,000 a month, something like that.
Mm. It's enough to buy clothes and food for the children, if they only use on the children, of course.
And every children in Denmark get kind of money every 3 months.
Yeah. But mentally that would be hard.
Yeah, it would be very hard. But of course we have a lot of children in Denmark who are taken care of by other families.
Mm. Mm. I heard it's typical, like it's a big farm and then there's a lot of different children coming to the farm and they work a bit.
No. That's, we have homes where they can live, where they will be taken care of pedagogues and things like that.
Okay.
Where they live, but we only put them in care, in family care.
So like
a
normal family.
Another family take another kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. We try to put them out in care in other families because it's best for the child to be in a family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That I agree for sure.
So try that. That's the first priority.
Hmm.
If the if the child are mentally sick or very aggressive or something like that, it can be very difficult to take in another family.
Yeah. Also, when they're a bit older in their age,
if they are sick, mentally sick and are very anxious or cutting or things like that, they can be very difficult to have in a family because it's a full-time job.
Yes.
Mm.
And we mentioned a bit, like, you have experience working with very poor family or very rich family. Mm. And I remember last time you said, if you look at this, like, holistically, you feel like it doesn't matter which family they come from, they have, like, kind of similar problem.
Because the poor have two problems.
Yeah.
They have the mental and then they have the money problem.
Mm.
The others, they have their career.
Yes.
So they often work too much.
Mm.
But the children then react for missing parents in both families.
Yeah.
And they could, sometimes they are anxious in different ways, but they are anxious anyway.
Mm.
In the middle class, I think, but that's, I have no statistics on that, but only from my experience, I think that in the middle class, parents now are thinking a lot of how their children manage and how they feel and how they do. So there's the problem with anxiety is coming up there, and I think there's also more anxious parents.
Oh, it's the stress from the society to the parents and then passed down to the kids.
Yes, I think.
And this stress are actually caused by the first class parents when they are CEO and then they just put all the workload on the middle class.
Because we have a lot of kind of pressure as a parents everywhere in the world, I think, but also in Denmark, that's what I know about. We have a lot, there's a lot of pressure of young parents here to have a career, to keep fit, to think about everything, to have good friends, to have good relations, to...
Yeah.
There's a lot of things to do and a lot of choice to do. And then they are going to make the perfect world for their child. And nobody is perfect.
No.
Oh. So, yeah. So then they are unsatisfied with themselves, and then the children can
feel it.
Mm.
Interesting.
So that's how we worked, was to, how do you learn to live with the life you have? To find the good things in that. And what are you going to change? And we are not going to tell you what to change, but we can help you to find out what to change.
Wow.
Because I can't live your life. What's good for me is not good for you.
No, maybe. Definitely not.
Okay, so they have to find what will be good in their relationship, their things. The only thing you know now is that this is not working. So what are you going to do different?
Wow, it's such a eye-opening conversation. Like, because we started from a problematic kid,
mm-hmm.
and then it turns out to be this kid is actually a mirror of the problem of the family, and then you're helping actually the parents to really understand what is the best for them.
Mm.
So,
and then those kids who are have some difficulties in their brains.
Yeah.
That's another thing. That's another way to work because. They're born with it. It's in their brain. They have autism or something else like that.
Mm. How many family have you worked with, just out of curiosity, if you can?
Over my work life?
Yeah.
Hundreds. Many.
Hundreds?
I have been working in this kind of work for 40 years. And I have contract to about 150 every year, so you can make the math yourself.
Oh my god, 150 every year.
Yeah, so you can make your own math.
Yes. So you just mentioned you don't have statistics, but I think you have a very good data pool to draw a conclusion from. Cool. I think I really want to continue the conversation, but it cannot be too long. And maybe in the future, I can come back to you and then discuss other topics again. I think it's
maybe
really
we
cool.
We can do that. But yeah. It was very nice to hear about China as well.
Yeah,
I still was curious.
I mean, I don't have the statistic like you or experiences as you, and I can only tell between my age under 20 something, but definitely there are some common things, which is also what I discovered when I moved here. There's actually a lot in common between two societies. Like, I think the commons are more obvious than the difference sometimes. Of course, there's also different, but if we can also compare this society in a different timeline, I think, as we spoke last time, maybe China, in terms of, people have choices and financially independent, these type of stuff, we are a little bit behind in Denmark, but you can see the similar pattern.
But we're all human beings and we have the same needs.
Yes.
All the rest is culture.
Yeah. The culture could date back hundreds of years ago.
Yeah, it can be thousands of years.
Yes.
Because but in this culture, it's somehow what we have learned to do, what we have learned to think, what we have learned to feel.
And culture are from the human context.
Mm-hmm.
And then as you said, we're all human beings. So
mm-hmm.
culture can also be quite similar most of the time.
Yeah. Lots of it is.
Yes.
Yeah.
So very interesting conversation. And in the end, I normally have this tradition to ask my guests just to make a small wish in the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't help you to make a control, but it's really interesting. Or, I'm just curious if you want to make a wish for your life at this point, what would you care about?
For my personal life and for the Danish life.
You can choose, it's your choice.
I will wish for Denmark.
Yeah.
For the people in Denmark around this problem.
Mm.
I will wish that we find out how to manage to help each other to have good relationships.
Mm.
So we are not going so much apart, but come together and make societies again and good friendships again.
Yeah. It's a very sweet.